good morning, everyone, and welcome back. Good morning, and welcome back to our weekly Mashiach and Geula class. Today, we just began Parshas Lech Lecha in learning the finding, discovering the redemption in every story and in every, maybe even every pasuk of the Torah, how really it's full of Geula and full of Mashiach. So we're holding in the second pasuk of Parshas Lech Lecha. We began Lech Lecha in the earlier weeks, and now we're holding in the second pasuk. Today is Chav Zayin, Nisan, right before Koyach Nisan, when the Rebbe initiated that we should do all we can to bring Mashiach, and then the next Shabbos, Parshas Tazria Metzora, he gave Hayrah that we should learn about Geula and Yana Geula Mashiach, and that's Derech Hayashara to bring about Mashiach. So now is an appropriate time to strengthen ourselves in this learning, in this weekly learning. Now, as I'm exploring the psukim, it's becoming, it's like so much. There is really an ocean. There is an ocean of ideas of Geula and Mashiach, because everything, if the Eibishter's Kavana, if the end, the interest of Hashem's was the redemption, so it has to be, the Kavana has to be notes, has to be present in the entire process. You know, things that are not at the very, very core, you know, so they show up only when they're needed. But something that's the point and the root and the essence of everything, the essence is the essence of everything. So the essence has to be in every letter and every nuance, mamish, of the Torah. Is like it's beligvul. There's no end. So let's try to summarize a little bit. We're holding now that after, and especially when we're holding right where we're holding right now, in the second pasuk of Parshas Lech Lecha, over here you have Hashem promising, after he tells Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha Me'artecha, he gives him a bunch of promises as brachas that Hashem blesses him. And we understand that being that this journey of Lech Lecha begins the march towards Mashiach Tzedkenu, we begin our march towards the Geula Shleima. Avram Avinu, the first Jew, is marching to Eretz Yisrael, which, as we spoke in earlier classes, that's our aliyah, that's our ascent to Eretz Yisrael as part of the Geula Shleima. So we understand that the blessings that are coming as a result of it are also very geuladig, and that Hashem is really blessing him with inyanim that didn't really fully materialize yet, and their true meaning is going to be revealed to us, or rather we should say are applicable to the world of Mashiach. So what are these blessings? So let's take a look a little bit at what Hashem tells Avram is going to happen when he's Lech Lecha. So there's a series of seven blessings over the next two psukim. The seven blessings are as follows, and we'll try to find as many as we can to see what the deeper significance of these blessings are. The first one is, Ve'eschol Agoy Gadol, I will make you into a great nation. That's blessing number one. The second blessing is, Va'avarechecha, and I will bless you. The third blessing is, Va'gadlo Shemecha, and I will make your name great. The fourth blessing is, Ve'heyei Bracha, and you will be a blessing. That's in one pasuk. And in the next pasuk is another three blessings. Va'avarecha mevarechecha, mevarechecha, I will bless those who bless you. And then, Amakalalelcha o'er, and I will curse those who curse you. And then finally, v'nivrechu b'cha kol mishpachos adama, that all the families in the world will bless themselves in you. You will be, everybody will say, as Rashi says, you should be like the Jewish people. So there's a series of seven blessings. The Medrash tells us, it's brought in the Tzemach Tzedek in Ur HaTorah. So the Medrash tells us that, I think it's the name of someone by the name of Reb Pinchas, hold it. Yeah, Amar Reb Pinchas ben Yair. Reb Pinchas ben Yair says, the seven brachas that Hashem blessed Avram Avinu are corresponding to seven psukim in Bereshis. In Parshas Bereshis, there are seven times when it says, Vayar Elokim Ki Toiv. Seven times Ki Toiv. So the toiv that Hashem was talking about, ki toiv, that it is good, that ki toiv is now being channeled to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is going to take the ki toiv. Because as we look in history, we find that the world has not always been in a state of ki toiv. There has been ups and downs. There has been, you know, good days and bad days, trials and tribulations. There's been times of delight and pleasure, delightful times, and there has been painful and even horrific times. So we don't necessarily see the ki toiv, but Hashem is blessing that the ki toiv that Hashem initially intended when He created the world is going to be nizgala to Avram Avinu, and the gilui is beikar shayach. Those seven ki toivs are shayach to la'asid lavoi when that ki toiv is going to manifest. So what is that? So the Tzemach Tzedek gives a little beer how the seven blessings correspond to the seven kitoivs, not individually, but just in general. We know that the Eibishter operates the world, the seven kitoivs are related to the 7 days of creation. Every day gets a kitoiv. And even though on, let's say, on Monday there's no kitoiv, so the Eibishter gives a double kitoiv on Tuesday, one of them should apply to Monday. Shabbos it doesn't either say kitoiv, but on Friday there's also double kitoiv. So the Friday's kitoiv applies to Shabbos. So that's how you have 7 times kitoiv. So what does that mean? So we know that these are all the Eibishter's midos. The 7 days of creation, the Zohar says, are related to the 7 midos. Every day, we spoke about it a lot in the earlier classes, every day is another one of the Eibishter's midos. We're familiar with the Eibishter's midos now, particularly since we're in the 7 weeks of Sfiras HaOmer when we do a tikkun on the 7 midos. So you have 7 weeks, 7 projections of 7 attributes of Hashem, and these attributes are kitoiv. However, as the attributes are manifesting until Mashiach comes, the attributes are not fully, completely kitoiv. Why? Because in every day, there's a possibility for a corruption of those attributes. And that's, by the way, the idea of Sfiras HaOmer. We know that we have, for instance, within ourselves, we have the 7 holy attributes, which means the 7 attributes as they are in our neshama, which are pure, innocent, holy, directed towards good things and godly things. But we also have those very 7 attributes in our animal soul, and which the Alter Rebbe says, the animal soul's attributes are corrupted. So, but they're still the same attributes. It's just, for instance, we have the power of chesed, which means in the broader sense attraction and love. So we have positive love when we love each other. We have positive love when we love a mitzvah. We also have, chas v'shalom, a corrupted love. And the same is also with the gevura and the various other things. Each one in other words, there can be a yenika sachitzainim. There can be, the midah itself can be translated in an unholy way. Why? Because it's related to the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. When everything got mixed up, the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, everything got mixed up. So in Kabbalistic terminology, as the Tzemach Tzedek says, there was a Shviras HaKelim, there was a shattering of the vessels in the 7 midos. That's why the 7 midos are corrupted. They could be corrupted, because there was a shattering of the vessels in the 7 midos. When Mashiach will come, however, the 7 midos are going to be elevated to where? They're going to be elevated to a place where the Chas V'Shalom cannot be any corruption in those midos, where the midos are purely holy, godly, and not susceptible to any kind of misinterpretation. Those are the 7 midos as they are in Keser. Not only in Keser, but in Pnimiyas HaKeser, is what we call Atik Yoimin. In Kabbalah and Chassidus, it's called Shivat HaTaim, the 7 lower attributes of Pnimiyas HaKeser, of Atik Yoimin. And over there, Lei Smala Bahi Atika. There's no negativity in the level of Atik. Everything is Kulei Chesed, Kulei Toiv, and even the Gevura, which can be a source of judgments and that, in the level, in this very deep, high level of Keser, even that is Toiv, because it's over there, Gevura means His Gabros HaChesed. It's the intensification of kindness. Gevura itself is not withholding, it's giving with intensity. So everything is only chesed, and everything is only positive, and everything is only good. So that's when it says in Sheishis Shemei Bereishis Ki Toiv, that's really referring to the 7 midos, not as they were lower down to become the seven midos where they are chas v'shalom already corruptible. We wouldn't say about them ki toiv. It's only ki toiv when they're in their original infinite state, still one with Hashem himself. Over there, they're 100,000% good without any possibility of any kind of negativity. Those seven midos are going to be revealed in the world only after Mashiach comes. And that's these brachas the Eibishter is already giving to Avram Avinu. In these seven brachas that the Eibishter now promises Avram Avinu in Parshas Lech Lecha, when the Eibishter promises Avram Avinu seven brachas, these seven brachas are, as Rav Pinchas Ben Yair says, is the kitayv. These seven brachas are the kitayv, the seven kitayvs of Ma'aseh Bereishis. It's basically the seven emotions that Hashem initially wanted to extend to in his relationship with the world, but for whatever reason, the world is not ready for it until Mashiach comes. So you have already the seven brachas over here, already indicating the tikkun of the seven midos, says it's going to be already after Mashiach comes, in Avram Avinu's blessing. Now let's start exploring, that's in general. Now we'll start in exploring these seven midos individually, what they mean individually. So the first inyan is the Eibishter tells Avram Avinu, Ve'escha l'goy gadol, I will make you into a great nation. The Medrash tells us, on the Pasuk, this is a Medrash, I like to always find the source of things, it's brought in Yalkut, so I don't know, it's probably Yalkut Shemoni, I would imagine. So it says, the word gadol, it says, Ve'escha l'goy gadol, I will make you into a great nation. So immediately when you hear the word gadol, what's the association you make? What's gadol? So one of the things that we know is called gadol is Kohen gadol. A Kohen, and the Kohen gadol is the Kohen gadol. The Escha l'goy gadol means I will make you into a Kohen gadol. The Eibishter promised Avram Avinu godless greatness, and the greatness is Kohuna gadolah. So what does this mean? I'm going to make you, the Medrash says, I'm going to make you like Aaron a Kohen, Kohen gadol. What's the significance of the Escha l'goy gadol? See, Hashem was now telling Avram Avinu, the Eibishter was now instructing Avram Avinu. The Eibishter was now instructing Avram Avinu to go and conquer. Hashem was now conquering Avram Avinu to go and conquer the land of the seven nations. And the Chayra, and this is really problematic. I mean, after all, it's a conquest. So truth is, we all know that, you know, the first Rashi in Bereishis, God is the boss. God created the world. And the reason why the whole Torah begins with the story of creation is so that we should all know that one day the nations in the world are going to accuse the Jewish people like they're doing right now and say that we are living on occupied land. It really, this land, the land of Israel, belongs to the nations. So we should have an answer. What's our answer? So we say that Hashem is the one who created the world. B'tzayna nasna lahem, with his will he gave it to them. And then with his will, he takes it from them and he gives it to us. So you can't fight City Hall, ultimately. If God is the boss, he's the boss. What are you going to do? But still, there's a certain sense of unfairness. Why does the Eibishter go and create it that way, that he gives it to them and he takes it away from them? I mean, if you don't want to give it to them, don't give it to them. But stop to give it to them and then to take it away from them. So of course, you know, if he created everything, he's the boss. He can do whatever he wants. But why would the Eibishter do something like that? So the answer to that is already given in the first bracha that the Eibishter gives Avram Avinu. He tells him, "V'escha l'goy gadol, I will make you into a great nation," which means you have a right. You're the Kohen Gadol, and because you're the Kohen Gadol, you justifiably have a right to the land of the seven nations. As I'm going to see soon in a moment why you have a right on the land of the seven nations, and and a dafka has to be in a manner which it belongs to them and then it goes to you. Why is that? Because we know that generally you have to give. See, man was created to be the elevator of all of creation. Hashem created, as we know, you know, he created doimeim, tzemeach, chaya, medaber. The doimeim, the inanimate, the mineral, has its aliyah because it creates the tzemeach. It pours its energy and its power into the tzameach. The tzameach then becomes food for the animal. So it's elevated into the animal. It's a higher form of life. The animal elevates life and the energy that it gets from the tzameach and from the doimim into the adam, because the human being masters the animal. And he uses the animals, whether he uses it for riding or he eats from the animal. And then he takes from the animal, and then the human being, okay, so it's elevated to a human, so it's a higher form of life, but it's still not true, real, meaningful, true life. Because a human being also lives and dies, and that's it. Might be a more sophisticated being. The ultimate human being is the human being that is able to connect himself to Ein Sof, to Hashem. And thereby, you're connecting every point of existence to the infinite. And then you're really doing the biggest favor to everything, because everything becomes real and absolute and infinite and eternal. Now, initially, Adam HaRishon would have been the one, and then all of humanity would have been the elevators of all of creation. For whatever reason, things got messed up. So the Jewish people take the place of Adam HaRishon to assist the rest of humanity. We're sort of kind of the priests who are officiating for everybody else. As the Devish that says, Mamlechas Koyanim, you're the ones officiating. So, meaning every person should really dedicate his life to Avodas Hashem. But most people can't do it for whatever reason. So that's where the Kohanim are the ones that were chosen, loved to be the ones who stand. But Oifin Klali, in a more general sense, it's the Jewish people as a whole, that we're the ones who serve Hashem on behalf, not of us, on behalf of all of humanity. Not only on behalf of all of humanity, but on behalf of every cell in the universe, of every atom in the world. Everything needs to be connected to MS and to truth. And it's being elevated through the human being. So, therefore, the Avram Avinu was selected to be the Kohen. He's the Kohen. And then what happens? The nations in the world need a give for a Kohen. You have to support the Kohen. And what do you give to the Kohen? You give it. You give Miser. You give a tenth. Really give Miser to the Levium, but it's really a tenth goes to the Kohanim. So as a result of that, so if there are 70 nations, so a tenth of the 70 nations is the seven nations who are living in the land of Canaan, that's a tenth, that's Miser. So the Jewish people, which are the ones who are serving on behalf of all of humanity, have the right to get a tenth of all land to be given to them, a tenth of the nations. And that's the land of the seven nations that are given to Yidden, to serve as the thing. That's why we find also that so you have to give it, they have to give it, but there's more than that. As a result of them supporting the Kohanim, what do the Kohanim do? As we said before, it's a give and take. The Kohen working at the Beis HaMikdash, he is the one who's bringing bracha to everybody. In other words, he's the one who's serving on behalf of everybody. So this is why the conclusion of the pasuk, the Eibushter says like this, Vagadla, what's the pasuk? The pasuk says, Ve'escha l'goy gadol, I will make you into a great nation. And then the conclusion of all the seven, that's the first blessing. And what was the last blessing? V'nivrechu b'cha kol mishpachay sa'adama. All the families of the world will be blessed through you. See, there's two ways of learning. Simple pshat of is that all the families of the earth will bless themselves to be like you. But there's another meaning. You will be the source and the channel of blessings to kol mishpachas adama. All the land, all the nations of the world receive blessings as a result of the Jewish people serving the Eibushter. It's not just bracha for us. It's bracha for the whole world. So that's what the pasuk is saying. Ve'escha l'goy gadol, I'm going to make you into a great nation. The great nation is, as we said before, you're going to be a kohen gadol. You're going to be a kohen gadol. You're going to be getting kahuna. You're going to be getting miser. The nations are going to give you. That's why lech lecha. The Eibushter is justifying to Avram. By what right do I let you lech lecha me'artcha me'latcha me'beis avicha el ares asher arecha to go take conquest of this land? Is because I am making you the high priest of all of humanity. And now, they owe it to you, and you are going to bring bracha to all of them. That's what we see b'chlal by Kohanim. Kohanim are the ones who, on the one hand, serve Hashem on behalf of everybody, But what's the second avoid of the Kahanim? Also, this week's in the Parsha, Parsha Shemini, it says Vayere that Vayavarech Asam that Aaron Hakohen blesses the people, because the one who serves Hashem and makes the connection, he is the one who has the ability to bless. So the bracha comes to everybody, and that's why very nice it continues. You see, there's a theme in the entire Parsha that Avram Avinu later, after he goes and he fights against the four kings, it says Umalki Tzedek Melech Shalem. It says that Shem, who is the son of Noach, comes out to greet Avram after the war against the seven nations. And he gives to Avram Avinu, and he gives Avram Avinu, it says he gives him Meiser. And it calls him Kohen. So what really happened over there was that up until that point, Shem was the Kohen in Yerushalayim. He was the king of Yerushalayim. Malki Tzedek means he was the king of Jerusalem. Why was he the king of Jerusalem? Because there always has to be a Kohen. There has to be someone who is connecting the creation to the creator. Till Avram Avinu, it was Shem. And that's why he was the Kohen. Someone ringing? That's why he was the Kohen, Lekel Elyon. He is the Kohen in the world. But then what? But as soon as he sees that Avram Avinu was taking that role, what is he doing? Vayitanoi Meiser, he goes and he gives him a tenth. And when it says he gives him Meiser Mikol, if you think about it, it didn't only mean he gave him a tenth of his. So he brought to Avram Avinu a gift, he gave him Meiser, but it doesn't mean he gave him. That's interesting. Because Al Pi Pashtis, the story of a Yitanoi Meiser Mikol is Avram. I'm just thinking about it right now, I was reading it wrong. That it, Al Pi Pashtis, it's Avram Avinu giving him Meiser. Hold on, let me go to the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, after the war, Vayiten Loi, Avram gave Meiser to Malki Tzedek, gave to Shem Meiser. That's how Rashi learns. But you don't have to learn that way. Rashi's at Rashi, Vayiten Loi, he gave to him. He's learning over here that's not that way. It's that Shem gave Meiser to Avram, he gave him over the land of the seven nations. And Taka, what happens right after that? What's the next story in the parasha? Is Bris Bein Apsarim. Hashem comes and makes a covenant with Avram Avinu that the land is going to be yours. And what does Hashem, in which schus, and what does Hashem do with Avram Avinu right then and there? He's cutting up the animals. And as Rashi says, that's a remes to all the karbonos. Which means that since Avram is now going to be the one who's going to officiate in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning him is the descendants, on behalf of all of humanity, he's going to be doing karbanos, and by that right, he has the right for all the nations. And now we understand that we're not taking anything from the nations. Adarabba, the Jewish people's possession of the land of Israel, and we have to believe this 100% and 1,000% is the emes, that we're not chas v'shalom in any way taking anything away from anybody. The bracha to all of humanity and the ultimate wealth and good life that every single person across the globe is going to have is dependent on Shleimus Haaretz, that Yidden should have the entire land of Eretz Yisrael, and we should have it all, and Dafka that way. And then the point is, it had to Dafka belong to the nations, and they had to give it, because there has to be a give and take. Through their giving the land to Yidden and supporting us in our Avoda, just like the Jewish people had to give away from the, even amongst the Yidden, you see, that Yidden had to give amongst their land cities for the Levium. See, we have to give to those who officiate, to the tribe that officiates, and that brings bracha. So this is the bracha to all the 70 nations. It's an amazing thing. And that's why what happens right after this, Avram Avinu Taka begins his journey into Eretz Yisrael, begins to take, and where does he go? It says, Ad Makoim Shechem Ad Aloin Moire. It's the first journey, and that's Taka Yerushalayim, because Avram is going to take possession of as being appointed as Kohen. He goes to Shechem, which I don't know where he takes this. He says, Mekoyim Shechem is Yerushalayim. Shechem L'chayre Shechem. I'm not exactly sure. Aloin Moire is Yerushalayim. And over there what happens, Hashem appears to him. He builds a Mizbeach, because that's his job now. He is the one who is going to offer Karbanos, which means he's the one who's going to make Kiruv. Karban means Malashin Kiruv. He's going to bring all of existence to a state of closeness to Hashem. And he offers karbanis, and Hashem promises him over there to give him the land. Now, why did the Eibishter Dafka then give him these seven nations? Good, you have to give Meiser. You have to give tenth. But why Dafka these seven nations? So he says the reason is because these seven nations is right in the center. It's like at the belly of the world. It's right at the inner. You see, in today's, you know, people are living all over the world, but for the early days, this was like the cradle of civilization was in that area. So right in the center of it all is where so that Yidden should be mashpia to everybody. There has to be an influence to all of your man, to all world, to all the continents. So it all gets down to what's at that really nekudam tzos, the nekuda, the pnimi, the point in the middle of it all, the nucleus, if we might say, of the globe is given to the Jewish people to make the connection over there. That's why he brings, by the way, this whole pirush is from a sefer called Zera Berach, which is from a early kadmain. I guess he lived maybe in the 1500s. 1600s. His name was Reb Rachya Barach from the city of Krakow. And it's Gevaldig in Yanim there. Very, very, very beautiful things. So this is how he interprets this entire parasha. And he brings another very interesting medrash, which makes something very nice, which really, really wraps this up. This that Yidden, through their karbonos, bring blessings to the seven nations. It says that we know that on Sukkot is the day that we offer karbonos for the seven nations. And how many karbanis are there? We offer 70 cows, 70 bullocks are offered on Sukkot. And why the number 70? Because corresponding to the 70 nations. So in Yalkut over there, it says like this, that Reb Barachia, it's interesting that the person who, the sefer is, by the author of the sefer is Reb Barachia, and he brings it from a medrash in the name of Reb Barachia. I just thought that was cute. So it says over there like this, that the order, how do you know? Reb Rachya would make a cheshbon. Reb Rachya, one of the Tanoim, would make a cheshbon. How do you get to 70 oxen that there are on Sukkot? So he makes a very strange cheshbon. He says like this. On the first day Sukkot, because we know that every day Sukkot, they did one less. The first day they offered 13. The second day they offered 12, and then 11, and then 10, and then 9, and then 8, and then 7. If you calculate all together, you get 70. So he says the cheshbon is like this. The first day is 13, the last day is 7. So 13 and 7 equals 20. 20 oxen, good. The second day is 12. The second to the last day is 8. So 12 and 8 is 20. So it's another 20. So you have already 40. Then the third day is 11. The third to the last day, which is whatever, is the fifth day of Pesach, is 9. So 11 and 9 equals 20. So you have already 60. And then B'yoyim Dalet, on the fourth day of Sukkot, there is 10. That's his cheshbon. So 60 plus 10 is 70. So he says, what's the medrash making such a weird cheshbon? If you want to, first of all, why does he have to b'chlal give you a count? Look, read the psukim. You're going to see it's 70. What do you need to calculate? And also to calculate, it's so strange. It's like it's almost like he's challenged with math. So to make it easier for him, he goes, well, 13 plus 7, 20. 12 plus 8, 20. Calculate it simply, 13, 12, and make the cheshbon. The answer is, he wanted to get to the fourth day, and the fourth day there's only 10. Because what's the idea of 10? You have 60 and 60 and 10 isolated. 10, he says, is the land that belongs to the Jewish people. Even though it's only 7. But 7 is now. When Mashiach comes, another 3 are going to be added. And so therefore, these 10 stand. This is the portion that belongs to the Jewish people, which has an influence over all the 70 that goes that covers for everybody else. And it's Dafka on the fourth day of Pesach that you have these 10 isolated. The other 60 are taken from the front and from the back. And then you have the middle day. Why? Because just like Wednesday, as the middle day of the week, has 3 days before and 3 days after, and Wednesday doesn't have a partner, it stands in the middle. So to the Jewish people, stand in the middle of creation, and we influence to the right and to the left, extend our influence to everyone. And this is the content of this blessing of Veheyei, of this blessing of, as we said earlier, from the beginning, as Vagadla Shemecha, Ve'escha L'goy Gadla, I'm sorry, I will make you into a great nation. And finally, V'nivrechu B'cha Kol Mishpachos Adama. Now, continuing on this theme, The Eibishter's bracha to Avram, the Eschol Goy Gadol, will make you into a great nation. Relating to the Jewish people's influence on the same note, but a little different. Again, the interpretation of Goy Gadol meant, the first pirush I said was Goy Gadol is that you're the godless of Kohen Gadol, and you're the Kohanim of the world. As the Kohanim of the world, you're in charge of connecting all of humanity to Hashem. So similar to that, in the words Goy Gadol, Goy, even though Goy means a nation, but Goy is also, as we know, referring to Dafka, to Jews, and there is Goyim. Goy Gadol means that you become those that influence Goy, and that's your godless. Your godless is that you will affect all of humanity. In other words, the Eibush is telling Avram Avinu that the program that I am making with you, because people have a hard time with the chosen nation. Chosen nation, a chosen people, you're special. Our specialty is not a specialty that is for us. It's to lead and to guide. Every program, every company has to have a CEO. There has to be someone. If everybody, too many cooks spoil the soup. You have to have someone, but you're making soup for everybody. The cook is not making soup for himself. He's cooking for everybody. The CEO is the CEO for all the company. But there needs to be one CEO. There has to be one Rosh. There has to be one Rebbe, like one leader. You can't have many leaders. So the Jewish people are a nation that's ahead for everybody else. The Eschol Legoy, so the Ma'or Anayim, again from the Chernobyl Rebbe, says that V'Eschol Legoy Gadol, I will make you into the nation that has an influence on Goy. And that's your godless, that's your greatness. In what sense? When Mashiach will come, all of humanity will be reined in, La'avdai, to serve Hashem. Those our Avodah now for thousands of years is slowly chipping away at the Klipa, eliminating the Klipa, making or eradicating from the heart of every human being all Ra. And finally, you're going to have a pure human race left over where all of humanity is going to turn to serve the Eibishter. As the Pasuk says, that Oza Hapechas Amim, I'm going to turn over the nations, Safa Beruro, all with a clear language, La'avdei Shechem Echad, to serve Hashem with one shoulder, shoulder to shoulder, all people. Now, how does that happen? And Ad Kedei Kach, as we said earlier, it's not only going to influence humanity, it's even going to influence the animals. As we just said in the Haftarah of Achron Shel Pesach, how there's going to be universal peace, not only amongst nations, but it's going to affect even animals, that animals are not going to have a predatory nature. That inyan is related dafka to Yidden Zavoida. And it's connected to Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. Because this journey that Hashem told Avram, the idea is like this. Yidden, our neshamas really are higher than the world. We're from above and beyond creation. And our neshamas really, and we could have had, and if our neshama would have remained up there in the Eibishter's Machshava, we would enjoy an incredible, incredible closeness to Hashem, an incredible spiritual light, and a blissful experience she'en kamayu. The problem is that we would not do a tikkun olam. We wouldn't do a refinement in the world. So that was the whole charge, and that's hinted to in Avram. We spoke about this last class. Avram means Avram, exalted father, which according to Kabbalah means exalted intelligence. Avram is a very, very, very high level of intelligence, the Yiddish neshama. It's very, very high. But the problem is it's Ram, it's too exalted. Ram al kol goyim, it's above the nations, it's not influenced. So the Eibishter sends our neshama and each and every one of us into the world, including Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu made himself also a beautiful oasis of Kedusha. But the Eibishter said, that's not good. Go take on the world. Go to the land of Israel. Go take on the nations. Go do a birur ha'olam. And the way the Chernobyl Rebbe puts it, through our avoida, in artzius, in earthy matters, because that's what a Jew's avoida is. Our avoida is not himmelish and yanim. Our avoida is dafka, working, serving Hashem in all of our mundane activities. We affect the mundane world, which is the world of the nations. And over there, purge the ra from the toiv, the bad from the good, do a permanent and real birur, and as a result of that, it's going to end up being the Eschol Legoy Gadol, that you are going to be a nation that influences all goy, that all of and through your godless. This is Escha, I'm making you the empowerment over all of you, all of mankind. So that's very special. Now, Rashi tells us, we continue with these brachas. So Rashi tells us that in this first pasuk, V'eschol Legoy Gadol, I will make you into a great nation. V'avarechecha, I will bless you. Vagadla Shemecha, and I will make your name great. Ve'yei Bracha. So in the first, what we said earlier, that altogether there are seven blessings. But more particular, there are four blessings in the first pasuk and three blessings in the next pasuk. So Rashi says that the Eschel Goy Gadol is a promise to Avram Avinu that when we daven Shmoyne Esrei, we're going to say Zesha Oimrim Elokei Avraham. We say Elokei Avraham. Vavarechacha, I will bless you. Zesha Oimrim, we say Vavarechacha, I'm going to bless you. Is that we're going to say Elokei Yitzchak. We say God is the God of Yitzchak. Vagad lo shemecha, I will make your name great. That's what we say. Zesha Oimrim Elokei Yaakov. We say Elokei Yaakov. Ve'yachol, we would think, Rashi says, we would think that we conclude with all of them. In davening, the first bracha shemoneh esrei, l'kei Avraham, l'kei Yitzchak, l'kei Yaakov. So we would think that we conclude with everybody. Yachol, we would think that the conclusion is Talmud Loimar, the pasuk that says, ve'yei bracha, that you will be the blessing. That means when we conclude shemoneh esrei, baruch atah Hashem, mogein Avraham. That Hashem is the shield of Avraham Avinu. So Avraham is unique, only Avraham. So what is this, the deeper meaning of this? I'll be pashtus, this is really, really not understood. I mean, do you think Avram minds? He needs the covet? Avram needs the covet that we're going to say only Avram? And Bechlal, a person, even if a person does have jealousy, which Avram is the most humble person in the world, and he has such a pure heart, we can't imagine him being jealous even of anybody. But in addition to that, it says, the Gemara says that a person is jealous of everybody besides their children. When a child does better than you, you're not jealous of them. A person can fargin, as you say in Yiddish, farginin. You're able to feel good for the blessings of your children, even if they exceed your blessings. And what is Hashem telling Avram Avinu over here? That the barachas is going to be chaysem, we're going to conclude with you, only with you. So this goes along the lines of what we said earlier. That ultimately, at the end of days, all of humanity is going to serve Hashem. The Jewish people are going to serve as a blessing and you're going to bring the bracha to everybody and everybody's going to be included in that blessing. So here's a very, very beautiful idea from the Nesivis, which generally the Nesivis is a sefer that is one of the most lamdish svarim that everybody learns it in Talmudic studies. The Nesivis is like you're a lamd in yeshiva, you learn from Rabbi Yaakov of Lissa. But he also has a pirush al HaTorah and it's called Nachlas Yaakov. And in his Pirush over there, he says something really fascinating, explaining this whole idea of what does it mean we're narrowing it down. Alekei Avram, Alekei Yitzchak, Alekei Yaakov, and fine. And then we say, B'chachaisman, with you we're going to end. He says in general, Elokei, the idea of we're calling Hashem, we say, V'eschol Egoi Gadol, I'm going to make you into a great nation, is that we say Alekei Avraham. What is the significance of that? Significance of that is that God is really infinite. The Eibishter is beligvul, infinite, endless, boundless. And why should the Eibishter in any sense, you know, associate himself with us tiny little nobodies? Us tiny little peepsqueaks, schmendricks, what are we? Nothing. The fact that that Hashem makes the world important and makes and chooses to be in a relationship with humanity, that's huge. That's huge. That's the most unbelievable chesed, the unbelievable kindness that God does, that he does associate himself to the point where he calls himself, I am the God of somebody. I am the God of, what do you mean? That means that you're giving chashivas, you're giving importance to that which you're being a God over, that you're identifying with this thing. It's like a person feels, you know, proud. This is my house. This is my child. This is my thing. It gives honor and prestige to a person. Sometimes it's something that you're embarrassed with. You don't want to associate. So why would the Eibishter feel that the world, right, he calls himself a lekei? Well, so Avram Avinu established that. That's why it says that later in the parsha, not this parsha, in a few parshas from now, Avram says to Eliezer that initially God was only the God of heavens, not the God of the earth. But I made him God of the earth. What is the deeper meaning of that? God of the heavens? No, the heavens are infinite. The Alter Rebbe says there's no number to the amount of malachim that there are, as the Gemara says. Endless, boundless. Okay, but the Aretz, it's lowly, it's nothing. But Avram Avinu attracted God. That God finds a connection to the world, alekei haaretz. So that's the first bracha. The Eibishter says to Avraham Avinu, ve'escha, I'm going to make you legoy gadol. A great nation means an important people. You're important. What's real importance? Gadol doesn't necessarily mean big in size. It means godless importance. The fact that I say, Zesha Aymin Malakei Avram, that God associates with any with a human being and calls himself the God of that being, that's a chashivas. That's a quality. It's an incredible quality. That God makes contact with humanity. But if Hashem chose Avram Avinu to be the man, kind of the father, and through to one who he takes interest in. But Avram Avinu is not just the father of Avram. Avram Avinu is the father of many nations, because Esav also comes from Avram, Yishmael also comes from Avram. So many, many nations in the world attribute, you know, see themselves as Einik Lech of Avram Avinu. So that's why we say the next one, we say Lekei Yitzchak. When we're saying Lekei Yitzchak, what are we doing? We're focusing the Eibishter's relationship not to be to all the descendants of Avram. Who is God seeing himself in a personal relationship with? Dafke Yitzchak, and what does that do? That excludes Yishmael. It's not with the Arabs. It's with the descendants of Yitzchak. And that is learned out from the next thing the Eibishter says. Va'avarechecha, I will bless you. And that's Zesha'im and Malakei Yitzchak, Dafke Yitzchak. Why is Yitzchak associated with Va'avarechecha? Because by Yitzchak Avinu, he says, he's the only one of the Avos that it says the Eibishter came and blessed him. It says, Vayavarech Elokim es Yitzchak. That the Eibishter, Hashem appeared to him, Vayavarech Hayisein, Hashem blessed him. So Yitzchak Vavarechecha is indicating that Hashem focuses, particularizes his relationship, that first it was made with Avram Avinu Bechlau, with a human being. But now it has to be narrowed down, Dafka to Yitzchak. But then, Yitzchak is still a father of Yitzchak and Esav, of Yaakov and Esav. So Hashem further focuses in it and particularizes it and directs it with Dafka to Yaakov. That's the next thing. Va'agad lo shemecha, I will make your name great. Zeshoim, Rashi says, Zeshoim melekei Yaakov. We're saying the God of Yaakov. What is that doing? That's excluding Esav and all the descendants of Esav. Why? Because by Yaakov is the only person who his name became great. What do we mean that Yaakov's name became great? Hashem calls Yaakov Kael. Hashem literally called Yaakov God. Vayikra lo Kael Elokei Yisrael. That the God of Yisrael called Yaakov Kael. And we know he names him Yisra Kael. He blends Kael into Yaakov. So that's why Vagadlo Shemecha, making a name great, is referring to, Hashem is narrowing it down. He's hinting to Avram Avinu. It's a relationship with you. Within you, it's Vavarechecha, Dafka to your child, in which I'm going to bless. That's Yitzchak. And from Yitzchak, Vagadlo Shemecha, Dafka the one, that his name is going to be great. That's related to what Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, V'niflinu ani va'amcha, that I and your people should be unique amongst nations, that you have a particular relationship with us. But that is only going to be until Mashiach comes. Once Mashiach comes, ve'yei bracha, b'cha chosmin, with you we conclude. In other words, we're going to eliminate the filters. We're going to go back to Avram Avinu, b'cha chosmin, with you. So that here I'm going to be a little bit try to adapt the Piddush that he says, but I'm going to fine-tune it a little bit more Alpi Chassidus. The Nesivis, the Nachlas Yaakov, the Rabbi Yaakov of Lissa says, when Mashiach comes, we don't need any filters anymore because Hashem is going to put an end to all the nations and it's only going to be the Jewish people. Because there is a pasuk that Hashem says, I'm going to annihilate all the nations of the world. The Rebbe didn't like that. As we know from the Rebbe learns, that the whole Piddush of Chas V'Shalom, Hashem is not going to Chas V'Shalom bring a destruction to all the nations, but rather the nations of the world are going to be sublimated. So could it be, so he says, Ve'yei Beracha, you're going to remove the filters, you can go back to saying Magen Avram, because then the only descendants of Avram are only the Jews. So therefore, you don't need any more to narrow it down. Yitzchak l'kei Yaakov, you can leave it by l'kei Avram. That's why we conclude, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avram. But I think, according to what the Rebbe is saying, is that once Mashiach comes and the nations in the world are already Mesukan, so then Adarabba, then l'kei Avram, l'kei Yitzchak, the Eibishter will be the God of all of humanity. Because all of the human race will already have its tikkun and be in its elevated state. You don't need to be careful anymore. See, what's the whole point? You don't want to bring God's energy down to the nations, and that because chas v'shalom, they can corrupt it and use it for bad forces. It's the general idea that you have to protect the hashpa and keep it in a good place. But once v'sruach hatuma avim in ha'aretz, the spirit of impurity is going to be removed from the earth, then there's no danger anymore in bringing this chayos and this life force to all of humanity, because there's no corruption anymore, because there's no mara anymore in the world. And that's the idea of a yei bracha, that b'cha chaisman. Then one more nekud I do want to say. In this idea that the Eibishter tells Avram Avinu, and I want to talk about this till next week, there's a lot of inyanim over here, that Hashem says, v'yei bracha, and I will conclude, and you will be a blessing, b'cha chaisman. And that is from the Megale Amukos, in which he says something, which I think it's familiar, and it's popular, people know about this. And that is that we know that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov refer to three different avodos. No, so first of all, he says like this. Avram is chesed, Yitzchak is gevura, and Yaakov is rachamim. And we know the difference between chesed and gevura is simple. Chesed is kindness, and gevura is judgment. But even rachamim is a combination of chesed and gevura. That's why rachamim is called mishpat. It has some elements of judgment as well. It's not pure chesed. So he says Hashem's conduct with the world is going to be initially, Hashem is going to conduct himself with various different midos of chesed and gevura, and sometimes rachamim throughout history. But when it comes time for Mashiach to come, when the time of the geula arrives, b'cha chaisman, with you we're going to conclude. As the Eibishter is going to extend rachamim pshutim, pure chesed, and the end of galus, Hashem is going to revert back to unadulterated chesed. And there's going to be a flow only of chesed, which means chas v'shalom, even if chas v'shalom, there is dinim and judgments, and based on judgments, or even based on rachamim, we're undeserving of rachamim, but the hashpah is going to come dafka from Avram Avinu, is kulei chasadim, only chesed. Mitzad, the Jewish people as well, he says that there's three avoidas that we served. Al shloisha dvarim, this week's Pirkei Avos, the world stands on three things, al ha-toyrav, al avoidav, al gmilas chasadim. Throughout history, we excelled in Torah at certain points. Throughout history, we excelled in Avodah, which is Karbanos, and Be'ikr, Avodah Satfila, and the like. But when we get close to Mashiach's coming, B'cha Chaisman, the final Avodah that is going to be the merit of the Jewish people in the days of Mashiach is going to be increased Gemilas Chasadim. And that's what we see in the Jewish people today, that even people that are not religious and not involved, people are very charitable. People are very giving. And tzedakah is something that's very, very, very strong in the world, and we have to encourage. The Rebbe encouraged tzedakah so much. Because in the end, b'cha chayisman, with you we will conclude. And then he says something very, very special. He says the reason why dafka b'cha chayisman is because ultimately, chesed is the shayrish for all the other midos. Even though there are seven midos, chesed is the more powerful of all the midos. It goes along with every day. Every midah needs a little bit of chesed to be its platform, its source. And therefore, chesed includes all the other midahs. It's the one midah that has power and includes all of them. And he brings a very fascinating story. The Gemara says in Masechtis, I don't know where the Gemara is, but the Gemara says that, just to conclude with a magnificent story, the Gemara says that Eliyahu Hanavi used to come to the yeshiva of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, of Rebbe, every day. I think every day, I'm not sure. One Rosh Chodesh, he didn't arrive. And the Rebbe was waiting. Rabbeinu HaKadosh was waiting for Eliyahu Hanavi. He didn't come. And he asked him, and he came late. So he asked him, why'd you come so late today? He says, because I am busy every day. I go to the Ma'aretz HaMachpelah, and I wake up the Avos that they should daven. So, he says, till I wake up Avram Avinu. You have to get Avram out of bed. And Avram washes his hands, and he davens. Then I have to go and put him back to sleep. Then I wake up Yitzchak, and Yitzchak has to wash his hands. and he davens. And then I put down and I put Yitzchak to sleep. Then I wake up Yaakov. Yaakov gets up and he washes his hands and he davens. And finally, so the Gemara says, and that's what took so long. It took a little longer, you know, that's Rosh Chodesh, so they davened longer, whatever. So the Gemara asks, why can't he wake them up at one time? So the Gemara says that he's not allowed to do Aliyah Anavi, because if Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov would all daven, all three together, then they would bring Mashiach before its time. Nisan, we have to scream at Masai and shake the world. If Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov would wake up together to daven, the Gemara says it would bring Mashiach, even if Mashiach is not meant to come, and the Eibishter doesn't want that to happen, so therefore he's not allowed to do that. The Marsha, by the way, adds that this is Dafka on Rosh Chodesh, that this, the Gemara, the story happened on Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh is the time most mesugal for Geula, because the renewal of the birth of the moon is the birth of the Jewish people. So that's why on Rosh Chodesh, if they would daven together, it would blow the Gullus away. So he says, this is true during all the time of the Gullus. But when finally the Esa Geula is going to come, he's going to wake up Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and they're all going to daven together. And that's going to bring the Geula. And that's why it says, B'cha Chaisman, with you we're going to conclude, with Avram, because Avram really includes all of them. It's Meramaz, he says, to the final tefillah. You're davening Lekei Avram, Lekei Yitzchak, Lekei Yaakov, each one davening separately. But then in the end, Magen Avram is that Avram Avinu is together with all of them, because Avram is koilel all of them, and B'cha Chaisman, because that's really including all. And that's going to bring about the final Geula. May we merit that before Chav Chesivan, Nisan, there should be already the Koyach of the Tefillah of all the three Avos, and there should be B'cha Chaisman, we should conclude the Gullus B'simcha, with joy and with happiness and with everlasting joy. Be'ezus Hashem, next week we continue on Thursday. There's still more very special things about these brachas and how they relate to the Geula. And Be'ezus Hashem, we'll talk about it next week. Have a great day.